A lady in an airport bought a book to read and a package of cookies to eat while she waited for her plane. After she'd taken a seat in the terminal and had gotten engrossed in her book, she noticed that the man sitting one seat from her was fumbling to open the package of cookies on the seat between them. He opened the package, took a cookie, and began eating it. She was so shocked that she didn't know what to do, but she finally also reached over, took one of the cookies, and began eating it. A few moments later, the man reached over, took another cookie, and this continued for several minutes until finally there was only one cookie left. The man then reached over, broke the cookie in half. He put one of the halves in his mouth and left the other half for her. The woman was so furious, she grabbed the other half cookie, stuffed it in her mouth. She grabbed the package, the empty package, and walked over and threw it in the trash can. She quickly looked back and gave the man a quick glare, but he simply gave her a little smile and nodded his head. She was so upset that tears came to her eyes. She walked over to the other side of the terminal and found a place to sit. She reached into her handbag to get a tissue. She halted and then pulled out her unopened package of cookies. Nobody likes it when others judge them, but everybody does it. Everybody judges others. And I'm not suggesting that's necessarily a bad thing. To judge simply means to form an opinion or conclusion about something or someone. Judging things, judging situations, judging people is a necessary part of life. The Bible is full of passages, both Old and New Testaments, that not only tell us to judge others, but also how to judge others. In John chapter 7 and verse 24, Jesus said, "Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." Proverbs 12:26 says, "The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray." Choosing friends carefully is the basic definition of forming value judgments. The Bible doesn't tell us to stop making judgments. It tells us that we are to make judgments that are fair and just. Leviticus 19, verse 15 said, "Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly." One way to make judgments that are fair and just involves giving the benefit of the doubt. The benefit of the doubt means to think the best of someone in a situation where the evidence seems to point in the other direction. It means to think the best of someone when you're inclined to think the worst. The classic New Testament passage which deals with judging others is found in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6, Jesus said, in verses 1 and 2 particularly, "Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." When Jesus says, "Judge not," or "Do not judge," he's not saying that you're never to make judgments or form opinions about others. In fact, we'll see that that's exactly what he ends up telling people to do in this very text. But when Jesus says, "Do not judge," he's forbidding judgmentalism, which is an overly critical, hypocritical disease of the soul that constantly finds faults in others. Jesus is condemning the critic who arrogantly assumes a superiority that entitles him or her to assess, to determine the feelings and intentions of others. Notice what Jesus says in verses 3 and 4. He says, "Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye?" Then notice that Jesus tells us to do that very thing once we've first cleaned up ourselves. Verse 5, he says, "Hypocrite, First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. A few weeks ago, we looked at this passage and noted that Jesus is teaching that we need to fix ourselves first before trying to fix others. Another thing he teaches in this passage is that we need to determine who actually wants to be fixed. Nothing is more frustrating or foolish than continually trying to help someone who doesn't want to be helped, trying to fix someone who doesn't want to be fixed. Jesus addresses that in the next verse, verse 6. He says, "Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces." Christ is warning against being too harsh in the first five verses, but in verse 6, he cautions us against being too lenient. There are situations where critical judgment is precisely what is needed. In order to do what Christ said, we have to make a judgment on who is to be classified as a metaphorical dog or a pig. Pigs and dogs were unclean animals which had no appreciation for valuable things. Jesus is saying, don't bother correcting those who will not listen. The proverb writer expressed it this way in Proverbs 23, verse 9. "Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words." So Jesus is saying, don't be a person who's always looking for and criticizing the flaws in others. He's saying you have to clean up your own life before you even have the ability to properly assess the flaws in the lives of others. And he is saying, in order to help others and in order to protect yourself, you have to judge others. We make judgments all the time. So the question is, how can we judge others in a way that is in harmony with Christ-like principles? How can we remove our feelings from the situation and give others the benefit of the doubt? Well, giving the benefit of the doubt means that we need to be fair when we judge the attitudes, the words, and the behaviors of others. We need to do so fairly. In the Old Testament, instructions were given to judges on how to judge others fairly. The same principles apply when we judge others. Deuteronomy 1 verse 16 says, I charged your judges at that time, hear the disputes between your people and judge fairly. Whether the case is between two Israelites or between an Israelite and a foreigner residing among you. Deuteronomy 16:18 says, appoint judges and officials for each of your tribes in every town the Lord your God is giving you, and they shall judge the people fairly. Fairness in judgment includes looking below the surface. Some people come across very hard because they've been hurt, and that's their way of protecting themselves. Try putting yourself in someone else's shoes before you judge them too harshly. Being fair in judgment includes considering more than external appearances and being cautious with circumstantial evidence. The way we think of others, the way we talk about others, the way we treat others often says more about us than it says about them. In treating others fairly, we must be willing to hear all sides. We must be willing to consider their perspective. Proverbs 18, verses 5, 13, and 17 says, "It is not good to be partial to the wicked and so deprive the innocent of justice." Verse 13 says, "He who answers a matter before he hears it, before he gets all the facts, it is folly and shame to him." Verse 17 says, "In a lawsuit, the first to speak seems right, until someone comes forward and cross-examines him." In treating others fairly, we must be willing to put the best possible construction upon events, not just automatically assume the worst. And of course, this brings us back to the title of our lesson. In treating others fairly, we must give the benefit of the doubt. In giving the benefit of the doubt, we need to be sure that we have pure motives. Our intent should be to help and not hurt. Are we motivated by love in our responses to others? Someone says, well, did you hear what they said? Did you see how they treated me? Well, yes, I did. Now the question is, are you going to respond in kind, or are you going to respond like Christ? 1 Peter 4, verse 8 says, above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Love will do its best to not advertise and exploit bad attitudes and bad behaviors in others. Do you want your bad attitudes and behaviors shared all over Facebook or whatever social media outlets people are using? Remember the golden rule in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, 12. Jesus said, treat others the way you want to be treated. In Matthew 7, verses 1 and 2 again, Jesus said, judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. This implies that judgmentalism invites retaliation. It recognizes that the yardstick we use to criticize others often becomes the same standard used against us. Even if the target of our attack does not respond in kind, God will hold us responsible for our unfairness. If we judge others harshly, we must expect to be judged harshly by the judge of all. As James said in James 2, verse 13, judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. In giving the benefit of the doubt, we need to be eager to forgive. The harshly critical spirit, which doesn't extend to others the same graciousness we have been given, is a disgusting thing to behold, and it will not go unpunished. This is made clear in the parable of the unforgiving servant that was read moments ago, but I'll read it again. Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times, or seven times 70. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged, and they went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. Jesus said, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. In giving the benefit of the doubt, we need to beware of our own hypocrisy. And I'm using the word hypocrisy according to the following definitions. The practice of claiming to have moral standards or beliefs to which one's own behavior does not conform, or behavior that contradicts what one claims to believe or feel. This is what Jesus was teaching in Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5. Verse 1 again, just note that the Greek word for judge means to assume the office of a judge. As I mentioned earlier, in our judgments of others, we must avoid double standards, and we must be willing to apply to ourselves the same yardstick that we apply to others. In Luke 6, verses 37 and 38, Jesus said, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." This is the idea of, for example, selling a basket filled with grain. And you pre-fill these, and when people come up, they don't realize that maybe you've stuffed a few rocks and dirt clods in the bag. And another fellow instead, Jesus is telling us instead to fill the bag up with just grain, press it down more firmly, put a little bit more in there, shake it until it's running over. And he's saying you treat people good, you treat them kindly, you treat them with compassion, you treat them with fairness, and it will come back to you. But if you treat them dishonorably, that will come back to you as well. We need to avoid the hypocritical attitude which says your sin is worse than my sin, in my humble opinion. We need to avoid the hypocritical attitude which minimizes our sins and maximizes the sins of others. To demand that others make changes and corrections in their behavior while refusing to do so ourselves is hypocrisy. Someone has said we are too prone to judge others by our ideals and others by their acts. And finally, in giving the benefit of the doubt, we must be humble. To fail to recognize our own sins and weaknesses because of our pride, because of our arrogance, is to make ourselves poor judges of others. There are times when we have to correct each other, but we are cautioned to be humble in such efforts. For example, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 says, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted." Once again, appealing to the instructions in Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5, Jesus said in verse 5, "Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." It takes humility to honestly look at ourselves. And Jesus says that before we begin operating on someone else, we must first humbly operate on ourselves. How we treat others often says more about us than it says about them. Pointing out the mistakes, the bad attitudes, the thoughtless words, and even the sins of others does not make me more righteous. How we view others is largely dependent on our character. But even if we're correct in our negative evaluation of the other person, it still speaks volumes about us by how we look at them, how we talk about them, and how we treat them. We need to consider the possibility that we may be the problem, that instead of always pointing the finger at others, we might benefit from a little self-scrutiny. I'm in regular need of people being gracious to me. Sometimes I should have been more careful about how I said something, or I try to be funny, but it comes out all wrong, And I can only hope that people will be gracious to me as I try to be gracious to others. How do you want to be treated when you do things like that? Do you want to be treated with patience, compassion, and graciousness? If so, then you need to treat others that way. Our integrity and our honor is never tested more seriously than when we are making judgments of others. Judging another person does not necessarily define who they are, but it often defines who we are. Back to the lady in the airport. Let's do our best to gather all the facts. Let's be certain to find out whose cookies we're eating before we begin drawing negative conclusions about the other person. Let's sing the song that's been chosen.